Okay, this is Radio Dead Air. This is Nash, and I've got a second interview in 2 years with Gigi Edgley. Gigi, thank you for some time this morning.
Absolute pleasure.
Okay, so catching up, since the last time we talked to you, in fact, you were mentioning this last time we talked, working on Last Train to Fredo, you ended up getting nominated a Best Actress nomination for that one?
I did. Wow, you've been following faithfully. Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic, and it was from the Writers' Circle, the Critics' Circle Awards as well. So it was pretty exciting for me. It wasn't like it was voted by people or anything. It was actually the Film Critics' Award. So that was very special.
And well, you were really excited about the role when we talked about it. You were all talking about the train, the whole bit.
It was an amazing little production to work on, especially from going from Farscape, which was such a large, it was on such a large scale, to strip everything back and just be very, very naked in front of the camera.
Well, that and the idea you wouldn't be in makeup for 3 hours every morning.
I know. No one was touching me. So that was fantastic. And then after, I don't know what happened next, but just recently I worked on The Star of Life. Yeah, with Deborah Messing and Judy Davis and Joe Mantegna, and that has just been... That was extraordinary, an amazing experience. And then I went straight on to shoot a feature film called Newcastle, which is a surfing film, like a coming-of-age film, with some very renowned Australian actors, a really nice, strong cast there. And then I went on to do a... do next? Oh, a pilot that they actually want to sell to a US channel, and it's all about saving endangered species throughout Australia, and eventually if it got picked up, we'd be travelling around the world. So that was amazing. It's called Creature Keepers. And then and I've also been working in Seattle making
a project going on in Seattle.
Yeah, so it's been a really awesome 2 years, I guess, since I've seen you last.
Yes.
Oh, and this whole thing with Seattle has been really exciting because I just want to, I'm at this stage in my life where I really want to be very passionate and very committed to the roles I'm playing. So one of the reasons why I moved from Australia to Los Angeles is to find and pursue fantastic scripts and tell amazing stories, because I've been through there's quite a lot of things that are offered to me that just don't make my heart race. And not to say that it is the wrong choice for me at the moment. I don't want to get locked into a series that I'm not passionate about. And I've been reading a lot of scripts that really, like hardcore horror films and everything from that to slasher movies to, even some doctors and nurses shows where I just don't think it's changing any kind of... It would teach me, or I would learn anything that new and interesting from it. So this whole Seattle adventure is coming together, and I met a guy at a signing, and he said, "You've got these crazy stories. You should write a film or a book." I said, "I'd love to, but I can never make any structure of them. The thoughts move too fast. I can't capture them and make any sense of them." And he said, "Well, maybe I can help you through that process, and you can help me, and I've got this comic book I'm writing at the moment." And I said, "Well, I've got this great idea." And so we're working correlation with each other, and going up in about 2 weeks' time. And I was like, "Where did that from? Everybody dance." Going up in about 2 weeks' time to meet and have a chat about this comic book. I've already been up once, and we're also working on about a week before I went up the first time. He said, "Oh, look, I've also got a friend that would love to jam with you." And I'm figuring, well, if we're going to do it anywhere, we may as well do it in Seattle. And so we're just going into it with the frame in mind that it's just going to be a journey. It's all going to be a work in progress. And once again, like Poison, if it's, as long as we have some good giggles and some funky beats along the way, then it'll be a nice process, and whatever comes out of that. So what we want to do is marry the comic book with the tunes, and then eventually make films from the comic books. So lots of magic.
It sounds fairly ambitious.
Oh, very much so. What isn't in life? Getting up in the morning's bloody ambitious. It was this morning. And in the meantime, next week I'm shooting a film called Systolic, and they want to put it into Sundance. And it's about human trafficking and the black market of prostitution and drugs and organs. So, but it's a beautiful script, and the director is this amazing, crazy French man, and his brother is the cinematographer. So I'm very excited about that as well.
That, okay, you've been doing a lot of, I guess it's hard to describe it. It's funny to describe it as mainstream, considering it's all acting. No matter what you're doing, it's acting. But there are some differences in where you draw the lines in between sci-fi and drama and the genres and whatnot. Do you miss being in something as way out there as Farscape? I mean, there were places you could go with that most other shows, it just breaks the internal logic and the audience won't follow you. Do you miss being able to have that experience?
I miss flying through space and going from star system to star system, and I definitely miss Chiana. And in one way, it's fantastic that I'm now playing humans, but in another way, you're right. It was a perfect learning ground, like to really inspire me to trust my crazy impulses, and it's such an awesome subculture as well, because there's what other films or productions do you know that you can get such amazing feedback from the fans, the support and encouragement has just been absolutely amazing, and that's taught me a lot about myself, and also to trust the dreams that I have, and I think that I definitely miss working with the handsome guys, definitely, because it was just a dream come true. There's no other way to put it.
With a character like Chiana, you're encouraged, obviously, to go over the top with it, to just do things that in a normal, in most productions, you're not, they tell you, don't take it down a little, let's pull back. Chiana, they pretty much say, where do you, as an actress, draw the line in the performance? How do you say, I'm going to hit this point no further? Where's going too far? Where's not going far enough with something that fantastic?
I just think that if you're heart is still beating, you're all right. You know what I mean? Anything that you just got to trust yourself. It's a big, big trust that sometimes, I don't know, it's where do you draw the line? I don't think Chiana ever had a line. I think it's all about what you feel comfortable with, and it's all about serving the story. So as long as it serves the story and the bigger picture, then you've got the license to play. And I think it's better if you're going to fail gloriously. Like, I've just started studying with the Howard Fine Studio in Los Angeles, because I need to get back to my craft work again and remind myself about the technical side of things, and I really want to make my presence be as alive and as in tune as possible. So it's been really intriguing, and they've taught us about this term called mental toughness. And as soon as you hear that term, you think, oh, mental toughness, yeah, you've got to, be hard on yourself. And this, it's actually, you've got to be tough enough to forgive yourself, because how often do you come out of a production or a thing and you go, oh, I should have done this, and no. It's like, forgive yourself, be forgiving to yourself, and that's how you...
Sometimes years later, I'll go back and listen to something, I'll go, damn it, I should have done it that way, yeah. And you just can't let it go.
Yeah, and then you never really learn from it, because you're too busy holding on to the negative side of it, so... It's all make-believe anyway, so bring it on.
part of that, did being able to go over the top like that, did that help teach you nuance, or did that help with any other roles where it was...
Absolutely. Definitely. I think it's all just, like, when I find a role or I'm gifted to play a character and tell an amazing story, I research it and pick it apart and find out the horoscope and the numerology and where they are, when they are, what they are, how they are, who they are, where they were on the day of this, and any kind of thing, any kind of clue. It's like almost being a detective, you know, and looking within yourself and finding what you can use to put into this character, these persons. It's just the most phenomenal job. It's not even a job.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just, I'm so blessed to be pursuing this career.
In all the time that you were on Farscape, was there anything you never got to do with the character? Never, or anything with regarding the production? Anything you wanted to do with it that you never got a shot at?
I think I've pretty much covered it. I think it was intense when they did call it, because everyone's frame of mind was, you know, assuming that we had another season. So you kind of pace yourself, and you don't want to use all your tricks up, and you don't want to use all your treasure chest.
And then at the end of season four, they say, okay, that's it. And
so in that way, it would have been good to explore and stuff a bit more, but I think I had a really fair go at it.
With that in mind, there's the webisodes coming up, and rumblings about if those do well, there's a revival. Is there any word of maybe we'll be seeing Chiana in the webisodes coming up soon?
Well, you're going to have to inform me about that one, I'm afraid.
Oh my, they haven't been talking to you about that?
No.
Oh, talk to Lonnie, he knows.
Oh, really? Fantastic.
He knows a little bit, so...
Well, all I know is that Sci-Fi and Henson's have agreed to do 10, 11 web episodes. That's the only clue I've been given. I don't know to what extent they're going to do it, and I hear that Lani's thoughts on it were they wouldn't be doing it unless they're sort of fishing to see what kind of interest there is. I think we all know what kind of interest there is. Like, my dad still to this day, he's like, why don't they make a fire escape movie? My dad's Fire Escape. Because they've got all these fans. What's the deal? They're silly. But it's like, yes, Dad. So I think the best, like the most opportune situation would be to make a beautiful feature. It'd be amazing because you need the time and the script and the budget to really service this amazing, amazing show that we've created.
And obviously you're willing to come back.
Definitely not. Absolutely. It would be an absolute dream, but I really feel that it definitely needs to be under the right circumstances.
If it's not done well, then it's not worth doing.
Exactly.
Well, Gigi, thank you for giving us some time this morning. I know you're going to get out of here pretty soon. Thank you for coming to the convention. We'd love to have you back again. This has been Nash with Radio Dead Air, and I've been speaking with Gigi Edgley from Farscape and many other things. Go check out all the stuff she's doing. I'll have links on the website. And thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.